This episode of Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you by Meh Inc. They offer a range of limited-run products including T-shirts, bags, cushions and vinyl prints. Contact them at www.mehink.com.au. Meh Inc. Proud sponsors of Full Credit to the Boys.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
This week on Full Credit to the Boys, the cream has risen to the top early in the NRL, Australia try and lose a game of cricket, and we have a bombshell announcement. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at former_legend on Twitter. And to my right, a man whose house has also been tapped by Barack Obama. You can find him on Twitter at Sid Punts, dressed only in a gold pair of dick stickers, smudged mascara, a whistle and a glow stick with three red pingers floating out of his pocket from Saturday night. Welcome, Mr. Sid Punts.
Good evening. It was a cracking night. I've got more to say about that later.
And righto, let's go into the news.
That's not how we normally do it.
What do we normally do?
We normally introduce the third wheel.
All right. Here's the bombshell.
Here's the bombshell. Not sure he's a bombshell.
All right. Last Wednesday morning, Normie let us know that he couldn't do Full Credit to the Boys anymore. Sid and I know both of us were pretty much shattered.
Absolutely.
Mainly from the pingers we're trying out for Saturday night, but shattered nonetheless.
Yep.
For those who want to know, Normie has a bunch of stuff going on. He works very, very long hours, and as we all know, he has a very young family. So basically, something had to give, and unfortunately for us, it was the podcast. So, with our blessing, we understand how important his family is, of course, and that's...
It is,
goes without saying.
It is tough to do this show. A lot of work goes in behind the scenes. I know every Tuesday I have to go up to the Bottle-O and then I've got to walk 20 steps to the studio. So it is tough, but we wish him all the best.
Of course we do. And with that in mind, for the moment it's two wheels, but I understand.
Yeah. We may have something to discuss later on.
Yeah, we'll bring it up later. We might bring it up in the mailbag.
Let's.
In the meantime... let's do the news. News. As exclusively predicted by former legend, Channel 9 NRL ratings were down in round one of the rugby league. They plummeted an alarming 23% seed in Sydney for the opening game of the competition featuring Premiers Cronulla and the battling Brisbane Broncos. On Thursday night, I mean, first of all, you've got to look into this. It's Thursday night.
Yeah, you can look at this a few ways.
Brisbane fans aren't used to watching Thursday nights. It's Friday night or nothing.
That's true.
But in the meantime, Fox ratings rose 5%. I call that the Yvonne factor.
Absolutely. What happened to the other 18% of people? Are they watching Married at First Sight? What are they watching?
I don't know. I don't even know what that is. Now, depending on your standing, this was either down to Nine's abysmal promotion of 2017 and their tired-looking lineup of on-air talent, or the fact that it wasn't a game between two Sydney teams.
Look, no one could ever accuse Channel 9 of not being cutting edge. Their performance year in, year out is exactly the same.
You got dudes in dresses.
That was their promo this year for the footy show.
You got Daryl Smalltalk. It's a new segment. I don't know if you've seen.
No, I've not seen it. I've not watched a footy show in about 12 years.
Yeah. So it will be interesting to see this year, the TV battle. It might be a bigger battle than some of the games we're going to watch in the upcoming weeks. We're in hashtag Team Fox, hashtag Team Yvonne.
100%. Full credit to the boys' very own Yvonne Sampson.
That was the uptake of the ratings from week one of the footy. Other news to come out of this week, Jarryd Hayne has been compared to Donald Trump by Andrew Webster after the Hayne pain took to Twitter to have a go at his coach, his team, journos, Marbo.
the vibe of everything.
After reportedly being fined by the leadership group, and I'm not sure, but I've heard it was Chinners and Aussie Jag who came up with a fine for his poor approach to training in the off-season. It turns out it was the coach who implemented the fine. Jarryd then said something about loose lips in his team.
Yeah.
So he's upset his coach, his team. His
team player, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Good luck there. And apparently at halftime on, is it Saturday night they played?
Let's go with that. Yep.
Had a crack at Neil Henry at halftime as well. So everything's hunky-dory there with Jarryd and the Titans.
I said I tipped them for a big year, so that was the end of them.
The Bunnies training and medical staff are coming under fire for leaving Greg Inglis, their Ferrari, on the field despite leaking oil and having a piston pop out the firewall.
This was a disgraceful decision. I've got more to say about it later, but that was ridiculous.
Mm. Anything to do with Robbie's brother? Have you got anything on
I
on
certainly
that angle?
Do.
I mean, if things weren't tough enough for them, they were actually up against the premiership favourites, the Tigers, and they left him on with what was obviously a bad, bad knee injury. And full credit goes out to the Tigers boys for looking after Inglis.
Yeah, lots been made of this, that they said that they looked after him.
Would have been bad if they'd have tried to look after him and he offloaded for a try or something because they were going soft on him.
Well, they let him walk across for a try. That was embarrassing.
Other NRL news, the Penrith forward and human car crash, Bryce Cartwright, who has had more women trouble than Sid's had women.
Yep.
And this time he's had trouble with a woman who has claimed that he brokered a deal of $50,000 for the woman to have an abortion of his alleged unborn child. About the only good news out of this story is that Penrith have dodged a bullet because in 20 years' time they won't have another Bryce Cartwright dropping off six tackles a game.
I've actually got Bryce Cartwright in my super coach team. He didn't perform very well. It may be time to terminate him. Can I say that? Too soon?
Round one.
Round one.
We kicked off on Thursday night. The Sharks began their title defence with a solid loss against the Broncos at Bogan Tat Stadium, 26 points to 18. In the lead-up to this game, the Sharks announced Tony Williams as Not Required Sid, which ironically is the name of his new autobiography, Tony Williams Not Required, available in all bad bookshops. I don't know what about this. Both sides look pretty rusty. Maybe the Sharks look more rusty than the Broncos, if that's fair to say.
Yeah, well, both these sides were beaten by Super League teams in the off-season, so the Sharks have now been beaten by a team who got beaten by a Super League team. The Broncos were just too good, which actually surprised me. I thought Bennett's lost the dressing room and he's on his way out, but I think the Sharks will suffer this year without Ennis.
There are a lot of people saying they won't make the eight. I mean, there was a fair bit of drop ball and mistakes, but a couple of players did look sharp. Anthony Milford, who sidestepped the entire Sharks team twice on his way to a match-sealing try. And Luke Lewis, he's like Benjamin Button for the NRL. He just keeps getting better at age. And I'm really looking forward to in 12 years' time when he turns 50. I think he will be an immortal by then. The only playing immortal.
Milford was excellent. I think Hunt, a lot of Dragons fans are really looking forward to him turning up at the Dragons on that performance. He's definitely worth the $8 million he's getting paid. He was mediocre.
He made a real hunt of himself.
he did.
And finally out of this game, Edric Scissorhands Lee.
You were waiting to get that out, weren't you?
Oh, I had that tweet ready to go for 20 minutes and he didn't drop another ball. I couldn't believe it. Edric Scissorhands, hashtag. Oh, it was a thing of beauty. But he still hasn't learned how to catch a ball since losing Canberra's path into the grand final last year.
Yep.
I believe Ricky was the only one smiling. It's the first time Ricky smiled in about a year.
Yeah, I don't think anyone caught that on camera, Ricky smiling, but apparently it happened.
Friday night, the Bulldogs crumbled to the Storm at Halal Snack Pack Stadium, 12 points to 6 in a pretty wet affair. Well, that's why it ended anyway. Bulldogs' all-new attacking plan for 2017 looks horribly like their 2016 plan, I've got to be honest.
No, totally different. Same outcome, but totally different way of getting there.
Different forwards are throwing that final pass to nobody. They just did it look clueless. Nothing's changed from what I can tell. They can get down to any team's 20. This is last year, and I'm going to guess it's going to be this year again. They can get down to any team's 20, and yep. Then they are. It's like they're meeting for the first time once they get down there.
That is totally true. They had plenty of attacking opportunities, but just the same old, same old. This was vintage Melbourne Storm, though.
Yeah.
12-6 at halftime and held them out 12-6 at full-time.
Probably one of only a couple of teams that could score 12 points in the first 10 minutes and then not worry about it.
Absolutely.
For the rest of the...
They just strangled them.
It's really hard to find excuses for the Dogs. If I'm a Dogs fan, time to push the panic button, I think. They were pretty much full strength, whereas the Storm were down Tohu Harris and Billy Slater, and they lost Jesse Bromwich, who broke his thumb 10 minutes in.
They did indeed. So, do you think the Halau Snack Pack Stadium experiment should be put to bed?
Oh, it should be terminated.
They've cart-rided. That's their fourth loss. Out of five games they've taken there.
I believe the Bulldogs fans are willing to pay $50,000 never to go back there again.
Yeah. If you're on the board at the Bulldogs, abort this decision.
The Rabbitohs' horror start to the year by facing the pride of the league, the West Tigers, ended as predictably as Sid's lunch this afternoon. What were you doing eating Vindaloo?
I'll never learn.
34 points to 18. The pride of the league, the West Tigers, beat the Rabbitohs.
Yep.
In the lead-up to this game, the hype was all around Robbie Farah's return. Something he said was like seeing his ex-girlfriend. Well, I can tell you, the Tigers' ex-boyfriend looked like many other ex-boyfriends at the end of the game when he realised the Tigers had moved on and didn't miss him one bit.
Not one bit. There were two talking points out of this game. The West Tigers were awesome. They totally dominated the bigger South Sydney Pack, which wasn't expected. Tedesco is an absolute freak. Nofaluma was outstanding. But...
will you be long?
Where's the elephant in the room? Everyone's talking about Inglis.
Yeah. Well, it was a tale of two fullbacks, really, because Teddy Tedesco had an absolute blinder. I just want to go through his stats. He ran 196 metres with the ball. He made two line breaks, a try assist, and he also led the very important stat of most spews on the field with one late in the game.
That was great to see.
It's always a good indicator to punters. If you see someone having a spew, chances are they're going to win. Meanwhile, Greg Inglis is likely to miss the rest of the season with an ACL injury. Despite this, he played 50 minutes of footy on one leg. Much like the Monty Python skit, G.I. declared it was just a flesh wound and
just
wanted
a flesh
to go
wound.
On.
He did play well for 8 minutes.
As a man who has done an ACL injury, if there's one defence I can tell you is, it's when you do it, it hurts, but you know it's not going to hurt anymore until tomorrow morning, and that's when it really hurts.
But what was the point of them leaving him out there?
Super coach points, I believe.
Yeah?
Yeah. You got three more.
Yeah. He scored a try.
I've said it before, mate, and I'll say it again. Bryson Goodwin is the best value player in the comp. Now, it amused me that I watched South fans on Twitter bag him, yet he scores three tries in a game. Yep. He can kick a goal. And he just rarely puts a foot wrong, in my opinion. If rumours of him being just over minimum wage are right, his work rate and ability to score a try make him the best investment in Redfern since that private methadone clinic opened up.
You need players like that at your club.
Yeah.
That's scored it. A treble against the pride of the league.
Yeah, well, yeah. If without him, it was 34-0. The Dragons absolutely wiped an insipid Panthers at Cheesy Bread Stadium on Saturday afternoon, 42 points to 10, defying the wet conditions to rack up a big score. I think I was closest to last week when I said that the score would be 44-0, Sid. I mean, that is almost Nostradamus-like.
You were close. Someone tweeted that you were 78 points out. Close.
That's what I like about people who follow us on Twitter. They're fact-checkers. The men from the foot of the mountains did a Shannon-Null, basically. They turned up and kept asking the Dragons, don't you know who I am? But all the hype around the Panthers resulted to jack shit. They were terrible in attack.
They certainly were.
But the only thing they were worse at was defence. And while you shouldn't take too much out of the opening month of footy, the Panthers didn't inspire you with much confidence on that performance.
Well, I don't think it's too early in the season to call this. Each team has now played one other team once. So it's a pretty good indication.
It's a good stat. It's a good stat so far.
Pretty good indication that the Tigers and Dragons will be playing well into October this year. You don't think?
Did you back that on Sports Tab, the outcome for grand final, the two teams?
I tweeted it out. You heard it here first. Sid's rough punt. Get on that.
Oh, I've got a good rough punt for you later on.
Excellent.
Anyway, how's this for a stat? Only three Dragons from their starting 13 didn't run more than 100 metres with the ball, while only three Panthers ran over 100 metres with the Steedon tucked under the arm. That is pretty much telling in itself, isn't it?
Certainly was. They blew him off the park. Cartwright, I don't know where his mind is at, but he
I've got a fair idea. He's 50k lighter for a start.
He wasn't tackling. Their goal line defence was non-existent. I'm pretty sure Gus Gould was happy with his performance.
Mm. 5-year plan. Where are we at with that?
About 13 years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just for those counting at home, Bryce Cartwright missed 8 tackles in defence on Saturday. That's as many as he missed most other games last year as well. So
yeah.
That call for him to be in the Origin side by a bloke by the name of @former_legend might have been a little bit premature. The Cowboys beat Ricky's Raiders at 1300 Egg Stadium in a tight affair, 20 points to 16. Golden point, actually, where a Thurston ricochet drop goal fell into the end goal and they jumped over for a sneaky try whilst Canberra pretty much sat around fingering their ass looking at the ball.
This game was amazing. This was a cracking game of football. The only thing that got the Cowboys back in my opinion, was the ref. I totally expected Ricky Stewart to go cocoa bananas in the press conference, but he coughed and spluttered his way through with a... Yeah, he behaved himself.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit
later. I think we will.
Well, they had a crazy low, 32% of the possession, and conceded 11 penalties to 4. So to get close to Golden Point with those stats is a pretty good effort. As much as I don't like to praise Ricky Stewart's teams, they definitely didn't do themselves any harm on Saturday night.
No, this is true.
Dally M winner Jason Taumalolo got straight back into 2016 form, doing everything except chucking eggs at cars. He ran an incredible 295 metres with the ball. Think
Unbelievable.
About that. That is a long way.
Yep.
How far would you go for a beer, Sid?
You have no idea what I'll do for a beer.
All right, not my best example.
No, bad example.
One last thing on this game, Sid. Who has the best name in the NRL? I think we got it down to two. Clay Priest.
Yeah, Clay Priest.
From the Raiders.
That's good.
Or Charlie Gubb.
I knew you were going to say Charlie Gubb. He's one of my favourites.
I think we should jump off the Jack Sock watch and look at either the Gubb watch or Clay Priest, which sounds like...
There's a Maris Brothers joke in there somewhere.
Like a porcelain dildo or something. I don't know. Anyway. The Titans were brave before going down to the Roosters at Crazy Horse Stadium, 32 points to 18. The Roosters blew the Titans off the field in the first 40 minutes, Sid, going in at halftime with a massive 28 points to nil lead, and they never looked troubled from that point in the game.
I don't think anyone's ever said this, but it was a game of two halves, this one.
Oh, write that down. Can we get that on a T-shirt?
That's mine. The Titans looked very, very poor. Hain did not look interested at all.
No. He did score a try late.
Yeah, and didn't they talk it up? Oh, the Hain plane out of his skin. He jumped up and caught a ball.
Yeah.
He looked very ordinary. Again, another team that I tipped
if you look at these
to go
two,
well this year.
Two teams, just look at their halves combinations. Keary and Pierce just have hit the ground running. Luke Keary. Outstanding. Scored a double and was in pretty much everything.
Yep.
Mitchell Pearce was quite good too, got to be fair. And they outshone the new up-and-comers of LG and Taylor. And as we know, Sid, there's only one great half in history with a surname Taylor.
Yes.
Who's that?
Jason the Scarecrow.
No, Paul Taylor from the Eels. Latrell Sprewell scored a hat-trick.
Who?
Latrell Mitchell, scored a hat-trick, while Jared Hain also opened up his try, scored, as we touched on.
Yep.
And had the blow-up with the coach, which always goes well.
Yep. Haven't the people turned on old Jared?
He want to pull one out of his ass this season, because otherwise he's going to be fodder on Twitter, at least.
Absolutely. He already is.
Sunday. The Warriors got a huge scare from the Knights at Choice Bro Churchur Stadium, eventually winning 26 points to 22. The Knights trailed by 12 points late in the game, Sid, before two quick tries actually put them in front with 10 to go. I know two blokes that were cheering like no men, yep. no men ever. But inexperience and probably having to complete an extra 50 tackles in the game might have cost the Knights as the Warriors scored with seven to go to seal the game.
Mate, the Knights put up a great fight, but the Warriors, when they're on, they're on.
Yeah.
Not 100% convinced, but they've got a cracking team. They did enough to get over the top of the Knights.
Well, I'll go as far to say this. I'm not sure what to take out of this game.
No.
And there's four things I want to look at. Is it another case of a close defeat to the Knights, which will affect the young team's confidence in the weeks to come, which happened last year a few times before they started getting blown away?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it an effort to be proud of that shows that they've got spark and they're willing to fight back? Or, let's look on the Warriors' side of things, is it a team that can't concentrate for a full 80 minutes? Or indeed, is it a sign that the Kiwis can fight back and muscle up against adversity?
Well, that's always been the criticism of the Warriors, that they fade late in a game. I don't think that's particularly true anymore. I think it was a case of, much like against the Dragons, you turn up thinking you're going to win.
Mm.
And the Knights put up a good fight. The Warriors had a bit of a scare, but they had enough in the tank to get over them.
The final game of round one saw the Seagulls head to Legoland for the first time, and they were beaten by the Eels 20 points to 12.
Yep.
I understand that in order to punish his team for such a performance, Trent Barrett made them take all their shoes off and run across pieces of Lego on the floor.
Nasty. That's nasty.
With his side up 8 points to 6, Corey Norman pulled a 40-20 out of his ass.
How
like
good
I've never
was
seen
that?
Before. He almost was jammed up against the sideline when he kicked one downfield, and took a beautiful bounce into touch, took the pressure off the Eels, who were under the pump at the time. Corey Norman, when he first lobbed there, I thought was solid without being exceptional.
Yep.
He's pretty bloody good.
He got that ball. Nothing was happening. They were under the pump. For someone to pull that out, the Sea Eagles just watched it go over because they thought, that's not possible. That couldn't have been from before the 40.
Dare I say it was Hain-like?
No, it was good.
He didn't lose his shit and tweet out about it. Both teams looked a little bit rusty, but also I've got to say that I think both of them will be around the eight at the end of 2017.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the Eagles. The Eels, I think, are in for a good season. Mm. The Eagles, did you see today, Marty Tapau and Fanua Blake, typical Marty Tapau. He's out for 2 weeks already.
Yeah.
Shoulder charge. I don't know what to make of this new judiciary. You can shoulder charge and get 2 weeks, or you can punch someone in the face and pay a $1,000 fine.
Yeah, or $50,000 for Bryce Cut. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Anyway, moving right on.
That's round one wrapped up. Let's have a look at this. We head into the 4077 casualty ward. And first up is Greg Inglis. He will be out probably for the rest of the season with an ACL. Other injuries this week, Peter Hicku from Penrith has gone for a month with an eye socket injury.
Yeah, that was bad. That was early in the game.
Jesse Bromwich from the Storm is out indefinitely with a thumb injury. Joe Tapine from the Raiders has been ruled out for 5 weeks with a busted finger. And from the Shire, Cronulla Sutherland superstar Normie Dorrell is out for a shocking grade 1000 hamstring tear, has been forced straight into retirement.
Yeah. I thought it was a heartledge.
Other sports in the news this week. Cricket. Australia versus India in the second test, and it's going on as we speak, Sid.
Oh, it's a cracking game.
Nathan Lyon kicked off the game with a handy 8 for 50 in the first innings.
Did nothing in the second innings.
No.
Nothing at all.
We followed it up. We got 80 in front. India then looked like they were going to surge past us before a late comeback from Australia. Set us about 190 to get.
Yeah, about 187-ish.
Okay. At this moment, we're about 3 for 70.
70, yep. It's going to go down the wire. Let's get this podcast done so we can go watch it.
Motorsport. Dutch driver Shane van Gisbergen won the Revhead Fest at Adelaide. I don't know if he's Dutch, but van Gisbergen sounds Dutch.
Sounds like a freaky deaky Dutch bastard.
And basketball. Andrew Bogut has left the court in agony with a broken leg just moments into his debut with the Cleveland Cavaliers after joining the team as a free agent, which is a bit of a shame.
Oh, I'm devastated. I'm so glad we do motorsport and basketball. Two of my favourite sports.
Well, speaking of favourites, let's head into Australia's favourite podcasting segment.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your ways. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
All right, grab a mirror, Sid, and do you want me to lead off?
Well, I led off last week, and Twitter was running hot about how impressive my story was last week. So you go first this week.
Punctuation's usually a good sign of a story. You used none last week, so
whatever.
Keep that in mind.
Okay.
All right. My first grab a mirror this week goes to Virat Kohli.
Oh, yeah?
Does he just seem like the shittest bloke you've ever met? He has to be the mayor of shit town, that bloke. He has no humility. He pushes the boundaries of fair play and decency. In the past, he's even had a whinge about Australia for sledging at him. But he's got no dramas in getting under the Australian skin with his verbal shit. His ego is getting in the way of all his DRSs. He makes Shane Watson look like an absolute rocket scientist.
Yep.
And he's just got a head I'd like to punch. So
he was sledging Renshaw, saying, "Do you need to go to the toilet? Do you need to go to the toilet?" He's like, "Really? That's the best you've got?" That is literally a shit sledge.
So short and sharp, grab a mirror, Virat Kohli.
Are we keeping these short and sharp, are we?
It'd be nice, but you know.
All right, shall I have a go? I've got a short, sharp one.
Go.
Grab a mirror, anyone who doubted Mary McGregor. Early front runner for Coach of the Year. You heard it here first. I picked it last week.
Massive fan of you are of him too.
Oh, I'm a massive St. George fan.
Let's go a couple of the creditors out there. Mitch Poole, 01, kicks us off this week where he said, "Grab a mirror, the footy show, for whinging about betting and NRL match fixing while round one odds shown on the TV underneath him at the exact same time."
Yep.
The Alex Craig wrote, "Grab a mirror, the NRL. You can't have betting agencies sponsoring teams, etc., and not expect players to get used to them and get addicted."
Common theme already.
Yep. Boner, 1978.
Top handle. Top Twitter handle, Boner.
Buzz Rothfield for going on NRL 360 and having an opinion about foreign hashtag red-nosed elephant in the room.
I like it, Boner.
At GLD299 said, "Grab a mirror, Bryce Cartwright, Phil Gould and Lou Alphabet. You're absolutely disgraceful." Hard to argue.
No.
Grab a mirror, at Sapuli wrote, "The Penrith Panthers, do I need to explain?" No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Fat Hairy Lazy, Sid. You're going to have to be two.
Oh, I am both fat and hairy this week.
I'll be lazy. He said, "The pricks at Fox NRL can grab a mirror for letting that flog Buzz appear on NRL 360. Starting to warm up to Buzz. Milram 361 wrote,
"My mate Milram.
Ishant Sharma and Kohli for being A-grade bell ends."
Well, we've already established that, Milram. Get with the times, bros.
Ben Pugsley wrote, "Grab a mirror, Ricky Stewart, the most disappointing post-game press conference ever."
Hear, hear.
Penalty count 12-3. Pay the 10 grand and grab a mirror.
Hear, hear.
He also wrote, "Grab a mirror, left-handers. I can't bowl that side of the wicket and you confuse me at squash. Hashtag
grab a mirror." Oh, have you ever played squash against a left-hander?
Nah.
Apparently it's difficult.
Oh, is it? Sid, let me crack in for another one here. And
go for it.
Grab a mirror, the New South Wales Police Force.
Okay, careful.
Controversially. Are you with me?
We love the boys in blue.
Are you with me?
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see where this goes.
Well, they proudly stated that on Mardi Gras night, Saturday night,
yes,
there were 6 arrests due to drug-related incidents.
Six arrests.
Drug-related incidents at Mardi Gras. That's like going to the Holden factory and finding 2 Commodores. How the police force are in disarray. I'm going to say it right now. The Boris Garaglikian government or whatever. They are doing a disgraceful policing job.
How many police were at the Mardi Gras?
Oh,
I was actually at the Mardi Gras.
Marching or I don't know.
I was at the Mardi Gras.
How was it?
Well, I thought it would be a good opportunity to go in there and sell a bit of merchandise.
Did you?
Yeah, so to speak. I set up the Full Credit to the Boys merch tent.
Did you? And how'd that go?
I thought it would be a great opportunity to sell some shirts. No blokes at the Mardi Gras wear shirts, I now know. But the Full Credit to the Boys branded Amyl Nitrate sold through the roof. I'll split the profits 2 ways now. We made a killing there.
Shout out to the police force once again.
And what a great night it was. The LGBTILMNOP community. It's a great night. It was fantastic. I had a ball or two. Anyway.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Ron De Paradise, one of our favourites, wrote, cricket third umpires grab a mirror and stop saying rock and roll. It wasn't funny the first time you asked them to move the tape forward. It's not funny the 999th time. Ron, me and Sid were only talking about that this afternoon.
We were watching it this afternoon.
Nailed it. He also said, grab a mirror. The players doing rubbish hand signals after a try. There's only one hand signal, and that's the one vinkered salute.
Yeah.
Oh, take me back. And he also said, I tell you what, grab a mirror, the Kiwi commentators, for the most biased bullshit commentary, let alone their shit accents.
That, there's no truth to that tweet whatsoever.
The little general.
They are totally unbiased, and we're the ones with the accent, not them. Who tweeted that? 100% agree, mate.
Ron De Paradise.
Good on you, Ron.
Dave Crellin wrote on our Facebook page, grab a mirror of the Penrith players for defending Cartwright from the media better than they defended in the whole 80 minutes against the Dragons. Good call.
Yep.
Efficient, not lazy, wrote, grab a mirror to whoever owns the dog that shits on my lawn every second day.
I've had the same out here. Every few days, there's a turd on the front lawn, and I couldn't possibly have been that drunk.
One eye. Yeah, no,
it's not even on my lawn. It's on my front driveway.
It's too solid for yours anyway.
Yeah, oh yeah.
One Eye Tiger wrote, grab a mirror, halftime the NRL and a lunch break at the cricket at the same time. This is fucking outrageous. Someone needs to grab a mirror.
He tweeted that at lunch and then at the tea break it happened again. There's got to be an investigation.
Ryan T. Jansen wrote, grab a mirror, any punter and Panther fan tipping them to win the comp with Griffin in charge, you're dreaming?
Yeah.
And then he backed up with, grab a mirror former for tipping against the mighty Red V. And
oh, yeah, because everyone knew that the mighty Red V was going to come out like that.
Yeah, let's see you stick solid, Ryan T. Jansen. We know what you're like. You're very fickle.
Yep. Only West Tigers and St. George fans win a premiership in March.
It's the Blitz rate. Grab a mirror of the Dragons for giving their fans hope for the upcoming season.
That's more like it.
Shane Adams wrote, grab a mirror of the India Cricket Board for having a player of the match and a man of the match. Every kid gets a trophy.
They have both.
I don't know. Fat, hairy, lazy. Want to change?
I think I am now the fattest guy on the podcast.
I'm the hairiest.
By default.
The pricks at NRL can grab a mirror for letting that flog buzz. Fat, hairy, lazy. You only have to tweet that once. Come on. Scott Cragg wrote, grab a mirror. The Muppets who take pictures of the temperature in their car when it's hot. I'm melting, you dickhat.
Did he actually say dickhat?
Yeah.
Ah, love it.
Dubstan wrote, grab a mirror, Bill Paxton's doctor. Now they'll never make Twister 2.
Oh,
that's harsh.
Too soon. Way too soon.
Have you got another one?
I certainly do.
Really quick, thanks.
No. Grab a mirror, the West Tigers, for announcing that Robbie Farah will be returning to the club as a West Tigers ambassador after he finishes with the Rabbitohs and finishes bagging the club over the next 2 years. He's a great ambassador for this club. I'm sure it was the West Tigers that announced this on the eve of Robbie Farah versus the Tigers.
I guarantee it wasn't JT.
It certainly wasn't Robbie's management. No way in the world. But what a great ambassador for the club he will be.
Oh, a real ray of sunshine.
Absolutely.
Dubstan wrote, grab a mirror, Clive Palmer. Actually put Clive in the tweet and said, I can't figure out if you're trolling Twitter or have had a bad stroke during all your weight loss.
Have you read his tweets?
Nah.
Do yourself a favour and follow him. It's just random shite.
Okay, yeah. I'll get onto that.
It is like he's had a stroke.
Grab a mirror, says Dubstan, Twitter for giving out those blue ticks to wannabe celebrities and creating a race of verified fuckwits.
Well, that's funny because I was going to try and get a blue tick.
Michael D. 40 wrote, grab a mirror, commercial radio for not playing enough sticks.
Enough what?
Sticks. Mr. Roboto, Renegade.
No, you've totally lost me there.
Okay. MP 6868 wrote, grab a mirror, Madge, for making Gio hop around like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking comp.
Hear, hear.
Fublé wrote, grab a mirror, the Panthers. Surely, no explanation required. That's a common theme as well.
Yep.
Luke J.H. wrote, grab a mirror, fuckwits who take their bikes on a full train, who get on at Redford and get off at Central. Just ride your fucking bike.
See, these are my favourite grab-a-mirrors. I love it when people just bitch about society.
Shaywom, I think it was, wrote Grab a Mirror Gus Gould for being a universal dick hat, and then he put a picture of a dick with a little helmet on it.
That was good. I like that.
The Alex Craig wrote Grab a Mirror the NRL. You can't have betting agency sponsoring teams and then not expect players to get addicted. I think I might have read that before.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, got a sense of deja vu.
D. Watson Hayes wrote, Grab a Mirror, Bryce Cartwright. How about being accountable for a change? First revenge porn, now this. Enough's enough.
Yeah.
Ernie Oz wrote, Grab a Mirror, the people whose job it is to come up with new junk food flavours. And then he put a picture
this is one of my favourite tweets this week.
He put a picture up of champagne vinaigrette and shallots kettle chips.
And as much as I agree with you, I wanted to go straight down the servo and pick up a packet of them.
If you can just stop talking, lean over and hand me my champagne and shallots chips, I'll be a lot happier. I am Connolly wrote, Grab a Mirror Google for not answering who is former legend.
Yeah, have you ever Googled that?
Yeah, a constant disappointment keeps coming up.
That little dick with a helmet comes up.
I
did it.
I don't know what it's got to do with Normie's license photo, but nonetheless.
Normie jokes, really?
cheap. I'll finish off.
You go for it, yeah, yeah.
Now, listen here.
Okay.
This is right in your hitting zone. You'll like this.
Oh, okay.
Grab a Mirror, the retired accountant who had a 20 pence, roughly 30 cents, bet and turned it into $730,000.
Shut up.
With an each-way accumulator he initially thought had failed. The man, who did not want to be named, placed around $3 worth of different bets on seven horses running at three different horse meets in the UK on the weekend.
Only seven horses?
He gave up on his chances when Ben Domingo, one of my favourite horses, yeah. I know yours too,
yeah.
Was racing, lost its race, not realising that he actually had it for a place.
I remember when Ben Domingo didn't win.
Yeah? What'd you have?
I didn't have him for a place.
Okay. It wasn't until Ladbrokes rang later that day to confirm that the six other horses that he had backed had won that he became aware of his huge wins. His odds boosted by a number of long shots, including a 14-1, two 12-1, a 10-1, a 15-2, and a 6-1. So Grab a Mirror, you nameless, faceless, lucky, tinny, magnificent bastard. And P.S., are you interested in taking over Sid's rough punts?
I want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, make a change. Change. Make a change to the lineup. Make a change to the third host. Make a change. Change.
Full credit to the boys.
Now, Sid, this is the second week that Mare Inc. has supported for Credit to the Boys. Mare Inc. MEHINK.com.au. If you've got an idea on how to pronounce that, send your ideas through. In the meantime,
it's not hard.
Let's look at all the products on display here at MEHINK.com.au. Mare Inc. Mare Inc. does custom decals for your car, so she does stickers for your car, Sid.
I've got a former legend sticker on my car.
Do you?
Yeah.
Aim hard and hit often, that car. She does t-shirts.
On my lavender starlet.
She does t-shirts, either small to bulk orders. She does bags.
Yes.
What could you use a bag for,
Sid? I'm pretty sure I'm going to contact her for a bag soon.
Put it over someone's head and throw in the boot of your car. Anyway.
Anyway.
Cushions.
Yes.
Where would you use a cushion at, Sid?
Often, I don't want to do any cushion jokes.
You're sitting on one tonight. Are the piles playing up tonight?
I've been on the grogs.
She also does stationery.
Yes.
Cards.
Yes.
Prints. What's a print? Oh,
she
yeah.
She does heaps of things.
8x10 in size print.
Yeah.
That'd make this studio look nice. We had a couple of Mare Inc. Prints.
I might talk to Mare Inc. and get some prints.
Why don't you look at that? Now, in the meantime, follow her on Twitter at MEH_INK.
Yes.
Follow her on Instagram. MEH.INK. Let's get her followers up to, let's make it another 50 this week.
Yeah, if you follow us, follow Mare Inc.
MEH @MEH_INK on Twitter.
You love an underscore?
I love an underscore. Team underscore.
@MEH_INK, not rhyming slang. I don't even know what that means.
.com.au. MEHINK.com.au. Thank you once again for your support.
Full credit to the boys.
Round two of the NRL, and after the heroics of Greg Inglis last week, the NRL have announced that round two will be called Magic Sponge Round, where players are suffering season-ending injuries are encouraged to suck on the old magic sponge and get up and run off the injury.
That's how they used to do it.
Thursday night, the Roosters play the Bulldogs at LBGTQ Stadium in the Shrek O'Mealy Shield. Now, I want you to pay attention to these.
Okay.
The Shrek O'Mealy Shield. Roosters come off the back of beating the Titans. The Dogs looked ordinary in the wet out at Halal Snack Pack.
They did.
Who do you like?
I'm going... There's a couple of games here that I could not split, and this is one of them.
Really?
I think the Roosters will win in Golden Point.
Yeah, I think the Roosters showing a little bit too much too early for the Bulldogs, who look clueless yet again. Friday night, the Warriors, coming off the back of a tight win against the Knights, host the Storm in the Daniel O'Regan Trophy at Churchill Choice Bro Stadium.
Yep.
What do you like?
I think this one will be a tight one as well, and I've got Storm in Golden Point.
Hang on.
Put a multi on this.
I'll have the Storm as well. They start the season very well each year. Why didn't we look into that earlier? The Broncos and the Cowboys up at Stinder Stadium. The first time it gets to be called Stinder Stadium.
Stinder.
Seniors Tinder. Wayne Bennett's company. In the Scott Minto plate.
Okay.
Who do you like? Broncos coming off the back of a good win against the reigning premiers, and the Cowboys in a Golden Point classic against the Raiders.
It was a good win from the Broncos, but I'm still not convinced with them. I think this will be a tight one, and I've got the Cowboys in Golden Point.
It's funny enough, the Broncos are favourites in this, but I agree too. I think the Cowboys might do them down there.
Definitely.
Saturday night, let's face it, they were playing a pretty ordinary team, the Broncos, last week. So, yep. Saturday night, the Knights play the Titans at Big Mac Stadium.
Big Mac Stadium.
In the Clinton O'Brien Shield.
Excellent.
You keeping up with this?
I am.
All right.
Not sure what I'm trying to be keeping up with.
The Knights come off the back of a tight loss against the Warriors side over there in Churchill Choice Bro Stadium. Whereas the Titans, will they come off, well, just a Jared Hayne dummy spit?
Yeah.
Who do you like?
I like the Titans, but I'm not real convinced. The Knights played well, but I think the Titans will win.
I'm going to say the Knights will get their first win of the season.
Really?
I'm not convinced about the Titans at all.
They're
pretty rank. The Seagulls host Souths at Legoland Stadium in the John O'Neill plate.
Mm-hmm.
The Seagulls coming off their first game at Legoland against the Eels, and Souths lost to the pride of the league. No Greg Inglis, no Adam Reynolds. They will be playing a few blokes out of position. I've heard that there's a chance that Robbie will play halfback.
Yeah, I heard that. That's always a good experiment.
So with that in mind, who are you backing?
I think Souths were way too bashed up last week by the Premiership favourites, the Tigers, and the Sea Eagles will just get over them, maybe in Golden Point.
Great story coming out of Souths that the coach and George Burgess are on very bad terms.
I heard that.
So with that in mind, I'm going to say the Sea Eagles will get their first win of the year.
Yep.
The Raiders host the Sharks down at Geelong Cold Stadium in the Matt Bickerstaff O'Shield.
Okay.
You'll figure it out.
I'm not sure I will.
The Raiders come off a tight loss against the Cowboys. The Sharks against a pretty ordinary loss at home against the Bronx.
Yeah, the Sharks were all at sea.
Oh, I like it. Very good.
I thought the Raiders were impressive just going down, and they will smash the Sharks down at Geelong Cold.
I believe the Raiders have flown in Mick Fanning. They're going to punch the Sharks in the nose and get over the top of them quite easily. Sunday, the pride of the league, the new Premiership favourites, the West Tigers, play the former Premiership favourites, the Panthers, down at the Meth Lab in the Shane O'Grady Shield. Who do you like?
This may come as a shock and surprise to all our listeners. I've got the West Tigers to win by 13+. We will smash the Panthers.
I'm worried about the wounded Panthers after a shocking loss last week. Surely they couldn't turn on two in a row.
They can't possibly play that badly, but
If the Tigers win, it'll be in a tight margin, and I'll say by 2 points the Tigers.
They'll win by 16.
The final game of the weekend, the Dragons host the Eels down at Dapto Dog Showground in the Mick Kokas Cup.
Okay.
The Dragons come off a surprising win, I think you've got to say.
Yep.
And the Eels come off a solid win against Manly.
Yes.
Off the back of Corey Norman. Who do you like?
Well, as discussed earlier, I'm jumping on the Mary McGregor train. Having said that.
Did you have a stroke halfway
through? I forgot what his name was. I'll edit that out later. Having said that, I think the Dragons have won their game for the year and the Eels will win.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm totally off the Dragons already.
I think the Eels will get over the top of them down there at Dapto Dog Showground. All right, let's hit this. He's the last man standing, sit for long. So it's last man standing time, mate, and well,
this has gone gangbusters on Twitter.
Yeah, it was. If you went hashtag Team Normie last week and thought you're on a winner, so we'll do this a little bit different because there's two of us for the foreseeable future.
Yes,
not for too long, maybe.
No, maybe not.
What will happen is,
yes,
we can't pick the same game.
No, that's a good idea. All right. We flunked that this week.
Second part is,
yeah,
if you win and my team loses,
yeah,
I'll give you $20 cash.
Oh, I like that.
If you lose and I win, 20 the other way. If we square up, we go all over right next week.
So we'll run a ledger.
We'll run a ledger.
For probably a week until we're out again. And can I say, when I put these bets on, I actually put the bets on.
Same, same.
So if we do get a run, if you're on team, hashtag team former or hashtag team Sid, there are no other options. You can actually have a running tally of how much you win.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah.
Won't be much.
No.
Won't need an accountant in. All right, so with that in mind, who's your last man standing tip of the week?
My tip of the week, last man standing this week, will be the Storm will beat the Warriors.
Storm will beat the Warriors?
Yes.
All right, not too bad. You just never know with the Warriors.
No, that's right. I'm not real confident.
All right. For those on hashtag team former, get all about and all on the Eels to beat the Dragons at Dapto Dog Showground. They will get over the Dragons comfortably. I'll get $20 and
we'll see about that.
We'll move on next week.
Okay. He's the last man standing, sit for long. Ironic that the last man standing is the first one to fall.
All right, we'll go out of that and we'll head into a new segment, Sid. And I know that you're very excited about this.
Oh, I love it.
Mainly because you're getting free stuff sent to you and you're so miserable.
That's one of my favourite things.
For sure you're going to be re-gifting a lot of this stuff to people for Christmas. But anyway, sorry, Father Sid and Mother Sid.
isn't my old man going to be stoked with this week's free shit that I'm going to send him for Christmas?
All right, play this song. Send Sid stuff for free. Send it in his direction. Right, this is Send Sid stuff. This is where companies send in their product. We give them an honest appraisal on our show.
Totally obviously, honest appraisal.
We'll be very honest and even more honest if you send money with your product.
This is a great segment. I love this. And we've had a biter already.
Well, be careful what you say there. Can I tell you that when you told me our first Send Sid stuff thing was this product, and I said, what is it? And you said, it's rooting pants.
Yes.
I thought someone like Fui Fui Moi Moi or Bryce Cartwright had gone into business making pants.
These are rooting pants. I'm wearing a pair right now, am I not?
Now, they are. Now, rooting pants for those playing at home, you can find them at rootingpants.com/store on the internet. They are about $50 a pair on special at the moment,
yes.
Sid. Now, what are they? Tell everyone what they are. What are you wearing?
They are, and I am literally wearing them right now, they are a pair of shorts with a stuffed mascot hanging off your old fella.
Currently, you've got a wallaby.
I do have a wallaby.
Or a kangaroo, depending on how you look at it.
They're doing all the rugby teams. Apparently, the guy from Rooting Pants is going to send me a tiger. Can't wait. I wish he had to send us one. There's a dog one for all you
Bulldogs fans.
Yeah, or anti-Roosters fans. having a dog hanging off your old fella would be great.
So this is it. We'll put out a picture on our Twitter and probably on our Instagram, but this is a...
In the back of the mascot, it has a Coldy holder.
Yeah, and Sid had a long neck.
Sure did.
Positioned perfectly in the back of the old kangaroo.
Yep.
Now, they say that this product is the Wallaby and its larger kindred, the kangaroo, are national anthems of dead set legendary sporting superpower and producer of soap stars turned superheroes, Australia. Putting the roo in rooting pants, these shorts feature an attached marsupial mascot that doubles as a beverage holder. Lift Skippy to reveal the fly when the need arises to pull Joey out of his pouch.
Which is a good feature, can I say?
I don't know. I don't know what Andrew Johns has got to do with it. But
you don't want to piss on Skippy. Where would you wear these, former legend?
Where wouldn't you wear them, really?
Exactly.
Any formal outing, I think, that involves beer. So weddings, christenings.
Funerals.
A wake.
Yeah, a wake.
A real talking point at a wake, I reckon.
I'd reckon.
It would take the mind off the dead body and they'd be moving straight onto you. Now it looks like you're halfway up at kangaroo.
They're fantastic.
I mean, they look smart. They're in one complete package. You've got a beer coaster, you've got a stuffed animal, you've got a pair of shorts. Why someone hasn't thought of this before is beyond me.
Hear, hear.
Now, how many moi mois out of five would you give them, Sid?
I'd give this product 2 fooey fooeys and 3 moi mois. It's a good rating system.
It is a good rating system. I'm going to give it 3 moi mois. Now, if you're a footy, if these pants were footy players, Sid, who would they be?
Oh, I think... You remember the Mortimer brothers?
Yeah.
Name them.
Peter, Steve and Chris.
Legends of the game.
Legends. Canterbury, Bankstown, Bulldogs, diehards.
If this was a Mortimer brother, this product,
yep,
it would be Glenn Mortimer.
Glenn Mortimer.
Do you remember him?
Not overly.
He played for Cronulla.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to...
What are you going to rate it?
Well, I'm going to say this is the Cameron Smith of products.
Oh, nice.
Doesn't look that good, but goes all right once you put them on.
So it's a great product.
That's the first Send Sid Stuff segment. There'll be lots more of this. If you have a product you want us to review, send it to us or get in contact with us. That's how we got onto this.
Yes.
We've already got our next product lined up for next week. And I believe someone has asked us to review, is it mango beer?
It's some horrible idea for a beer.
And they've actually put money into your PayPal account.
That's true.
To go and buy a six pack and review mango beer.
This is dead set the greatest segment we've ever done. Send Sid Stuff.
Strap yourself in for next week. That's all I can say.
Send Sid Stuff for free. Send it in his direction.
Well, can I just say, first of all, what a wonderful jingle that new jingle is.
You like that?
Yeah.
One of your best.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go in from one great jingle into another.
Roll the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack. The boy is sad.
All right, boy sack mail and feedback time, and we'll start off with some 5-star reviews. We just won this week on
iTunes.
Did
we have one this week?
Yeah, and it comes... Oh, I'll read it out to you, and then I'll tell you who it's from.
Okay.
It reads, "What has happened to this podcast? What was once a great show has become a rabble and is about as funny as blood in your piss. Seriously has dropped since Normie Dorrell left the show, and that's by N. Dorrell."
I was thinking, how's that guy know? Went off a bit early. Story of his life, Normie.
Full credit to the boys.
All right, full credit to the boys. Time, Sid, and we've only got one this week, but it's a great way to start the season. A young up-and-coming full creditor who's tossed in one on Fox Sports on Friday night.
Yes.
This is Cameron Munster, brought to you by Late Mailman, who spotted this one. And
thanks, Late Mailman.
First full credit to the boys for 2017.
I've been training all preseason at 5'8", and I had a little bit more K's in my legs tonight, and I was blowing out there, but full credit to our forwards. They really dug deep, and we got the 2 points.
Well, there you have it. It's a full credit to the boys. Nice early one for 2017.
Full credit to the forwards. Still counts.
Yeah, it wasn't. I gave it 3 moi mois.
I gave it 1 fooey and 2 moi mois.
All right, new leadership group. Now, we've had to call in, we've left the leadership group in for another week.
Yeah.
Because of all the happenings around Normie
and
everything else. So we got one more week. We are down to 3 names. We've got 1 to add.
That's right.
I believe you have an idea on how to get the 4th one.
I just think whoever buys the most shirts will be in. Milram's in the lead again.
He's a repeat offender.
I think he's bought all the shirts. Get in early. The shirts are going fast.
And speaking of shirts,
yes.
Where do you find the shirts at, Sid?
You find them at fullcreditttotheboys.bigcartel.com.
Okay, and
free shipping.
In all honesty and all sincerity, thank you very much to those who have brought it. All it is going to keep us going. I mean, this isn't done for free.
Nope.
That's all it is. No one's made $1 million out of T-shirts except for Reg Mombasa.
Yep.
A couple of emails or messages from the creditors. One from at Ben Pugsley, who wrote, hashtag team's former, get rid of Normie, weak as piss, won't tip his team defending premiers against hashtag Bronx on the slide.
Wow.
Well, Ben, you ask, we deliver, we got exactly. rid of Normie.
We aim to please.
Thank you to all those people who have subscribed. If you haven't subscribed, or even if you have, now's the time. Slide that little bar back and forwards maybe 50, 60 times. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe, unsubscribe. We say it every week.
You got to do it. It just clears your phone. It actually, there's a chance too that the winning lotto numbers, if you do it 50 times, will actually appear as a message.
So, gamble responsibly.
Yeah, gamble responsibly. Sid.
Yes.
As we end this show.
Yes.
Who has been your dickhead of the week?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Do I need to say?
Go on.
No, I'm not going to go the obvious joke. My dickhead of the week is the South Sydney physio for leaving Inglis on the field. A lot of people may or may not know that the South's physio is Robbie Farah's brother. And as somebody, I can't remember who it was, and I apologise, tweeted, who knew that it would be that Farah that fucked South Sydney season? Who's your dickhead?
My dickhead of the week is Penrith. They let down hashtag Team Sid, hashtag Team Former.
Yes.
Down. They are the biggest bunch of low-life, non-tackling, ball-dropping, non-trying, newspaper headline-believing imposters that ever graced a field. They dead set played like 13 little Tim Simonas out there.
Allegedly.
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 And as we look ahead to the week in front of us,
yes.
Sid, who's under the pump this week?
I believe Bryce Cartwright is still under the pump for another week. My mail is that this issue is going to be a lot worse before it gets any kind of better.
And I understand you have a bit of close mail to...
I certainly do. I have been told certain things
are about to happen.
Yeah, I'm not at liberty to say.
All right, so watch this space for Bryce.
Yes.
My under the pump this week is the Sharkies. No one wants to start a title defence that goes 0-2.
Nope.
They've been very unconvincing in their trials, and round one wasn't any better, and it'll become a real talking point if they don't go down to Canberra and get the Chockies. But in the meantime, mate, we might call it quits here. We've run out of beer.
Yep.
Hang tight for mango beer next week. That'll be an adventure.
Can't wait for that.
All right, go the Tigers this week. Premiership favourites, just got to deal with the weight that comes on your shoulders with
it's
being
gonna be
a
tough,
Premiership favourite, but you know, we're used to it now.
Yeah.
Have a good week.
You too.
Might see you at the footy.
Yeah, I'll be out there on Sunday.
Oh, look for the bloke with the bad t-shirt.
And the rooting pants.
See you later.
Know what you're doing with me.